Before you listen to today's broadcast, can I ask you to do three things? First, pray with me that God would use this show to touch many lives in a lasting way. Second, if you're blessed by the broadcast, share it with others. Tell others about the Line of Fire. And third, would you pray about standing with us in support with a one-time gift or as a monthly torchbearer to help us spread the fire? If you'd like to stand with us, go to askdrbrown.org. Click on support. Be blessed.
So what about Christmas? Do we celebrate it? Is it a wonderful time to remember the birth of Jesus? Or is it so filled with pagan origins and materialism today that there's no reason to celebrate it? What do you think? We'll talk about it today on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the Line of Fire.
All right, this is now a Line of Fire tradition to have our annual debate about Christmas. You say, debate? What kind of debate? Stick around. You'll find out. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us here on the Line of Fire. Number to call in with your viewpoint, pro or con or neutral, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. You can join the always lively discussion on Facebook at Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown on Facebook. Okay. Bear in mind that I, your beloved host, am Jewish. So as a Jewish believer in Jesus, it means I grew up celebrating Hanukkah, not Christmas, although I do remember times where there were Christmas presents, were the Hanukkah presents, because you get a little dinky thing every day for 8 days on Hanukkah. There's not much to it. You kind of envy your Gentile friends that were getting these bigger presents on Christmas. I have some recollection of Christmas presents at some point because we weren't a religious Jewish household. And, of course, we did light the Hanukkah candles most years, but it was not special to me. But I just want you to know I grew up without Christmas being a special time to me as a child, all right? So I don't come from that perspective. Also, I have many friends who are Messianic Jews who, out of their own background or just their own following of scriptures or adherence to Jewish calendar or solidarity with Jewish community, don't celebrate Christmas. Then I have tons of friends, Gentile Christian, Jewish Christian friends who do celebrate Christmas. Now, here are the main salient points that are going to come up both ways. And we're going to talk about this, and we're going to talk about it for two reasons. We're going to talk about it because we love the truth. We want to honor the Lord with all of our hearts and do what's right before Him. And we also want to talk about this so that we can learn from each other. Even just exchanging perspectives gives more insight, more solidarity, more sympathy with other viewpoints. So maybe you've always judged people negatively for having a Christmas tree and celebrating Christmas. Maybe you'll hear something today that'll soften your heart towards that. On the flip side, maybe you've judged people negatively who won't celebrate Christmas, and you'll learn their perspective as well. Got a lot of things to read to you, but we'll hear from you by phone as well, 866-34-TRUTH. Okay. Let me give you some of the arguments against, just so that we can kind of lay out the scenario here. And you're free to expand on any of these or raise other points as well. Christmas has pagan origins. Come on, we know Jesus was not born December 25th, and we know that for quite a number of reasons. And the shepherds tending the flock, they wouldn't have been doing that in winter and so on. There's no evidence that he was born on the 25th, and that was a pagan holiday that the church took over just to accommodate the pagans, and even the imagery and the Christmas tree, and if you look at each thing, you'll find it has pagan origins. And didn't Jeremiah warn in Jeremiah the 10th chapter about decorating a tree, and isn't idolatrous even to do that? And plus, where does Scripture ever tell us to celebrate the birth of Jesus, or to make a big deal about the birth of Jesus? Or to emphasize that. So, and weren't the first followers of Jesus all Jews, and didn't they have a biblical calendar they were following? And then other things that weren't in the biblical calendar, like Hanukkah, weren't they following that as well? And come on, Jesus is not a baby anymore, so why keep talking about the baby and the manger and all, you know, away in a manger, no crib for bed, you know, why even talk about that? And come on, all the crass materialism and commercialism. And it's just to buy more and have more and greed, just a way to make a buck, come on, over the Savior's birth? How wrong is that? And look, the world loves Christmas. Oh, Christmas. Oh, what a wonderful time of the year. And the world hates Jesus. So if the world loves this thing, it must be worldly. Therefore, we as followers of Jesus should have nothing to do with it, and we should be living differently than the world. That's one way of looking at it. On the other hand, I don't want to steal your thunder if you want to argue these points, because I'm sure you could expand on each one if you say we should not celebrate Christmas. On the other hand, people would say, hey, God's big, wonderful God, and people are excited about the birth of his son, and hey, it gives us an opportunity to read some of the special scriptures to really concentrate on this amazing fact that the Son of God came into the world. And we read and reread the opening chapters of Matthew and Luke. There's something special about it. And hey, God's a redeemer. Sure, this December 25th was a pagan holiday, but as more pagans were getting saved, the church said, let's have a day that used to be a holiday for them. Let's make it about Jesus. Take it from the world and make it about Jesus. Isn't that a good thing? And look, isn't this a time when we sing some of the great hymns of the church? Some of the most wonderful hymns of the church. Isn't this a great time to do it? Joy to the world. Come all ye faithful. We're glorifying the Lord with this. And come on, it's a great time for family. Loved ones come together. It's a time where you come together. And why? Because Jesus came into the world. Yeah, Jesus is the reason for the season. And okay, talk about the world loving Christmas. No. The world loves the materialism, but the world hates Christmas. That's why people don't want to talk about Christmas. They just want to talk about holidays. They want to take Christ out of Christmas. That's because the world is against it. What are your own practices? If you do celebrate Christmas, tell me what you do as a family. Do you do something spiritual? Is it a spiritual time of the year? Is it edifying for you? Is it edifying for your kids? Does it bless them? Or do you find that you're just having to combat Santa Claus myths and commercialism and materialism? Maybe you have a family tradition that has been really beneficial. Maybe it's a time when you specially give to those in need. Maybe it's a time when you teach your kids. Come on, after all, don't we need certain holidays? Don't we need certain sacred times of the year where we can tell people about the gospel? And it's a great time to teach our kids and so on. Maybe you have an edifying reason for celebrating this. Maybe you have some edifying practices, some edifying family traditions. Love to hear. So obviously we can't take an hour to hear about the amazing things you do, but maybe you could share succinctly some of the things you do. Or maybe you say, no, we follow the biblical calendar and we celebrate the birth of Jesus at Sukkot Tabernacles. We think that's probably when he was born. That's when we celebrate it. Our family is thrilled to not have Christmas. Our kids are thrilled to not have Christmas. While everyone else is going on spending sprees and doing all these things, we are very happy to just have quiet time, and we just follow the biblical calendar, and it's been edifying and excellent for us. Or maybe you have a different take. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to wait to start reading some comments until the other side of the break. Again, folks are discussing this already on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. I want to come back to something else, though, on the heels of yesterday's show. And then we'll devote the rest of this program, or the bulk of it, to our annual Christmas debate. And so I'm like, come on, it's December 21st, and I just wanted to enjoy the season. Well, you'll have good reason to. And if some of you are just I can't believe it's Christmas time again. I have Jewish believing friends that talked about how rough it was for them every year at Christmas time. Like, come on, you're not getting the spirit. You need to get the Christmas spirit. And like, I don't identify with this. This is foreign to me. This is different. Jesus I identify with. Christmas, I don't. Well, this show will help you too. But I want to get back to something from yesterday that on a slight tangential way, if I make it fit, as a radio host that's also a preacher, make this tangent fit. There's a slight connection. But I want to talk to you about how I orient my life. I am an American citizen. I'm blessed to be an American citizen. Sometimes I'm proud of our country. Sometimes I'm ashamed of our country. But I'm blessed to be a citizen in this country, which has had many freedoms and which has had the potential of impacting the entire world. But I am primarily a citizen of the kingdom of God. I do not identify as Republican or Democrat, although I've leaned Republican in recent elections. I don't identify with either political party. And even though I am a white man, I don't primarily identify as a white man. I primarily identify as a son of God. I primarily think of myself. I don't mean when I'm filling out a form, where do you live? I have all that stuff that's clear. Driver's license, okay, no argument. But I primarily orient myself as a child of an eternal kingdom. I primarily orient myself as having a relationship that transcends ethnicity, that transcends earthly patriotism. So as we talked about the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, or even subject of days and weeks and holidays, I have a certain orientation that is coming from what you would call a kingdom perspective. And based on that, although I'm moved by what happens in the world, I am not really moved, because I'm primarily moved by what God says and does, and by the will of God, not the circumstances of this earth. If you develop more and more of a kingdom mentality, you will have more of a positive impact on the world in which you live. Back with more. Christmas, to celebrate or not? That's our question today as we get close to the Christmas season. 866-34-TRUTH. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us. Remember, our website, askdrbrown.org. If you'd like to subscribe by podcast to this program, just click on the Line of Fire. Check out all of our other resources in our online library as well. Okay, I want to begin reading some of the comments here. I'm gonna alternate. Okay, I'm gonna read some positive, some negative. Should we celebrate Christmas or not? These are folks weighing in on our Facebook page. Here's a positive one. Yes, from Cliff. Yes. Followers of Jesus should celebrate the birth of Jesus. And in my opinion, the date is a non-issue for two reasons. One, we should be grateful every day for the gifts Jesus has given us. And two, even though Christmas Day is probably not the day Jesus was born, and though it coincides with pagan festivals, God judges the intents and purposes of the heart. Here's a negative from Julie. The disciples did not celebrate the birth of Christ. They celebrated the death and resurrection. And they definitely did not celebrate any pagan holidays, such as the one the early church named Christmas in hopes of converting pagans. I think where the church is going astray is that the history is not known or taught. God put all the holidays he wants us to celebrate right in the scriptures, and Christmas is not one of them. So my answer would be no. What do you think of that? Those of you that are pro-Christmas, what do you think of that? Come on, think of all the special Christmas celebrations, and your kids are in them, or your grandkids are in them, singing the Christmas carols and door-to-door and all the neat things that take place. How do you feel when someone says, no, come on, we're supposed to celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus? That was birth. Yeah, it was celebrated when he came into the world. We read about it, but what we memorialize with communion and other things and baptism is his death and his resurrection. Tom and Debbie have a positive take. We celebrate the major and minor biblical feasts as well as Christmas. Why not grab the world's captive attention and use Christmas as a time to share Jesus with others, just as we share the messianic significance of the biblical feast to Jews and fellow believers? Come on, when you say to your neighbor, Merry Christmas, with a smile, and yeah, I got childhood memories of with snow and all that. We didn't have snow every winter in New York, but often you'd have a white Christmas. What's been decades? I heard something on the news the other day, decades since there's been a white Christmas in Charlotte? Anyway, I don't remember one since we've been here in 2003. I do remember when I lived in Pensacola, Florida, from 97 to 2000, early part of 2003. My wife and I and one of our daughters part of the time lived in Pensacola. I remember we had a blizzard. A blizzard in Pensacola, Florida? Oh, yeah, we had a blizzard one year. It was December. We had a blizzard. Yeah, we got half an inch. Half an inch of snow, and the city was in crisis mode. We get some more weather here in Charlotte, but yeah, I've got those memories, the white Christmas and all of that, and the snowball fights and the sledding, etc. But when you say to your neighbor, Merry Christmas, isn't that saying, isn't it wonderful that Jesus came into the world? Merry Christmas. Or is it just worldly compromise. Barbara is positive and negative. After beginning to observe God's holy days, the man-made traditions paled in comparison. We realize that Jesus was born at Sukkot, again, tabernacles. There's an argument for that, but I don't think it's conclusive. In reality, there's no commandment to celebrate his birth. December 25th really means nothing anymore. Having done Christmas for 40 years, I didn't think I'd give it up, but it doesn't have meaning anymore. It's just another holiday, not a holy day. It's no different than July 4th, Columbus Day, Memorial Day. I can only speak for me, but tasting the fruit of the word and embracing God's holy days, the days he says are holy, then the man-made ones lose their luster. So that would be more of a negative comment. Mike, there's no basis for the traditional church calendar. I would argue that the only justifiable way for the church to honor and celebrate the series of events from the coming of Jesus to Pentecost is to live in the full reality of the Holy Spirit's presence and power. That's what happened in Acts, the blueprint for us until Jesus returns. I'm airing some of the arguments. Paula, personally, I don't have a problem celebrating Christmas. In fact, I love it. But I understand why some Christians don't. I've always thought of people's choice to stay away from Christmas because of its pagan roots to be equitable to the choice in biblical times of not eating meats that were sacrificed to idols. If it's something that bothers your conscience, then by all means, stay away. But I don't have a problem using the day to celebrate the birth of my Lord. One more comment. Let me read that right now. From Don. I'm sorry, all. But after reading some of the responses, that infers I'm sinning and how people are lording over me with their doctrines by deciding to celebrate my Savior's birth. I was reminded of these verses, Matthew 20, about how the pagans, Gentiles, in the negative sense, how the pagans lord it over others. Colossians 2, don't let anyone judge you in food or drink regarding a festival, new moon, Sabbath. So he says, Don says, so there's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Either it's extreme Judeo-Christian philosophy or extreme Western Christian philosophy, it doesn't matter, but each person must live for God for themselves. I choose with the blessings of my Lord to celebrate his wonderful birth on December 25th. Okay, question for you again. If you as a family have found meaningful, spiritually edifying, God-glorifying, family-blessing ways to celebrate Christmas, I'd love to hear what they are. I will tell you personally what our family habit has been, okay? Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to wait on that. I'm going to wait just a little bit. By the way, I'm not going to tell you anything profound. I'm not going to tell you anything earth-shattering, all right? Just to prepare you, this is not a day of, Dr. Brown had an amazing revelation. No. And if there is amazing wisdom I ever give or tremendous, tremendous word of sanity or clarity, you can thank God for that. So if I blow it, you can criticize me. If something good comes, you can glorify the Lord. How's that? But I'm not going to give you one of these amazing, insightful comments today. Just tell you in our own family how this works itself out. Okay? But if you have discovered something meaningful, edifying, you've been able to break with materialism and greed. And I've got no problem with folks exchanging gifts, by the way. But you've been able to break with materialism and greed. You have no issue with pagan origins or the specific date, etc. Then I'd love to hear what you've done positively. If you have had a positive experience by stepping away from Christmas and everything it entails, and either celebrating biblical holy days or none of the above, but you have been edified and blessed by doing something very differently, I'd like to hear it. Look, it's easy. Let me say this, and this is important, okay? What I'm about to say is important. It's easy to be critical of something you find wrong, a family tradition you find wrong, a family custom you find wrong, a celebration you find wrong. It's easy to do that, and you might be right in your criticism. But I find it important if I'm going to tear something down to replace it with something better. If God is against something, if God is against idolatry, it's not so that we can be miserable. No, it's so that we can know the one true God. If something is a tradition that's destructive, that's negative, that's harmful, that's hurtful, or that's just a waste of time, energy, effort, well, then what was that trying to fill? What void was that trying to fill? What need was that trying to meet? There must be something better then. There must be something that God has that is truer and more wonderful, that finding that reality displaces the need for the other. So feel free to call in and tear down Christmas or why it shouldn't be celebrated. But I would love to hear if you're doing something else that is more edifying that can be shared with our listeners, or if Christmas has become something holy and special to you. And then you'll find out, our own family customs as well. Stay with us. Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us as we talk about Christmas, to celebrate or not, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Before we get back to the discussion, I'm holding in my hands two DVDs, The Deity of Messiah, Son of God or Chosen Man, A Debate on the Foundations of Biblical Faith, 2 hours recorded, High Def TV, hosted by Jewish Voice Broadcast, where I had the privilege of teaming together with Dr. James White as we debated the deity of the Messiah with Sir Anthony Buzzard and Mr. Joseph Good. The DVDs sell for $20. I'd encourage you to get hold of them. But we want to do is send this out to you as a thank you gift to everyone that sends in a year-end offering, year-end support to help us with the Line of Fire, to help us do exactly what we're doing right now. You are supporting us and helping us to speak to people all over America and literally all over the world. Here's what you do. Write to us at P.O. Box 5546. That's P.O. Box 5546, Concord, North Carolina, 28027. That's 28027. Or online, askdrbrown.org. Click on support. When you send in your year-end gift just of any size, just request the DVD debate on the deity of Messiah. You can also call us directly at 888-378-FIRE. That's 888-378-3473. It'd be a great blessing to hear from you before the year is out. You know that money is something we almost never talk about here on the program, but it does pay bills and it does help us reach more people through radio, and we continue to get great testimonies of those who are reached, impacted. Thank you in advance for standing with us and for your support. Look, the world is always getting worked up over the latest conspiracy theory and the latest, the latest issue of, Da Vinci Code stuff. And so if you can say, look, Christmas, pagan origin, a lot of people get upset about that. The question is, how pagan are the origins? How pagan is Christmas tree and these other mistletoe and all these things? Is it all pagan? Or is it just like hanging idol pictures in our house? Or it doesn't matter what the origin is. Look, I'm wearing a mustache. Maybe the origins of a mustache come from some pagan rite, or someone's with sideburns or with whatever, jeans. Come on, it came out of the hippie movement. A lot of us wear jeans. Did it come out of the hippie movement? It's just clothes. So you can debate that with lots of issues. You can debate that with lots of issues. The question is, when it comes to something where we're talking about the birth of Jesus, talking about something as set apart to the Lord, do we want to have any pagan origins? Or does this so transcend pagan origins? Let me go to the phones. Justina in Denver, thanks for calling today.
Thank you. Good to talk to you.
Thanks.
Well, I was calling. I wanted to share my family. We quit celebrating Christmas probably about 3 years ago. And for a couple of years, we actually had celebrated Hanukkah and Christmas together, which is funny now when I look back on it. Because to me, when I really got into studying what Hanukkah means, because I think a lot of people assume that it's just an alternative to Christmas, in studying the meaning of Hanukkah, I realized that it was really a standing against being assimilated into an ungodly or pagan culture.
Mm-hmm.
And in celebrating that, you celebrate the fact that the Maccabees went into the temple to rededicate it and clean it out of the very paganism that Christmas stands for, which was the Christmas tree and the ham on the altar. And that's why they fall so closely together in the calendar, not as one being a replacement for the other, but they're the antithesis of each other. That's how I see it.
All right. So what's happened in, do you have children in the house?
Yes, I do.
All right. And how old are they?
Right now they're 15 and 18.
All right. So did they grow up in their earlier years with some celebration of Christmas?
Yes, they did. Yep.
All right. How do they do with the non-Christmas household and with a different emphasis?
they absolutely, they love it. And it was something that we had prayed about as a family, and we had all come to the conclusion together at the same time. I'll say it took my son maybe about 1 to 2 months longer to come to the point of wanting to do away with Christmas. But it was something that I can just see God's hand in our family, because we all came to that point together. And in order to make it a major transition in our home, we got rid of everything that was Christmas, including even like lights and stuff that could have been used in the celebration of Hanukkah, but I didn't want them to see the mixing of anything. And we went out and purchased everything new for Hanukkah, changed the color scheme to blue, bought candles, and, you know, we do it up really big. We, right after Thanksgiving, we get all the decorations out. We decorate the house really big. We have all our favorite meals all week. We have parties. And, you know, they get a little gift, and we just really focus on Yeshua, Jesus, being the light of the world.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for that. Thank you for the for doing it in a godly way, praying as a family, and then making sure that as a family that there was no deprivation. Because it's one thing to say, we don't do this, and everyone sits around miserable, feeling deprived. But for you, you've replaced it with something better. And I like the counter-assimilation part of it, too. Thanks for the call, Justina.
Sure, thank you.
God bless. All right, let's get a different view here from our friend Debbie in Franklin, Massachusetts. All right, what's your take?
Merry Christmas, Dr. Brown.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Does it bring a smile to your face when I say Merry Christmas?
Well, you know, I always prefer to say have a blessed Christmas, just because the whole merry thing is so much what everybody says. But if it's merry in the good sense, you know, with the Santa Claus, Merry Christmas. But by the way, did you hear about Nina Totenberg, National Public Radio? She's one of the hosts that she was talking about a party that she was at, a staff party somewhere, and she said, forgive the expression, Christmas party, that even to call it Christmas party was something she felt was politically incorrect. Amazing.
No, I didn't hear about that, no.
Okay, so tell me about do you have kids in the house?
Yeah, I do. I have three kids. But my thing is that I love to celebrate Christmas, and I don't think the Lord minds that people do that, because, first of all, for a Christian, Christmas should be every single day, you know, in their hearts. It's just, you know, every day. But for the world, they celebrate Christmas, but they don't invite the main guest. It's like having a birthday party for you, Dr. Brown, and all of a sudden, it's like, okay, we're going to throw a birthday party for you, but they don't invite you. And that's what the world does. They leave out Jesus. And I think it's a good witnessing tool. Like when you go out in the streets and you just say Merry Christmas to somebody, it's like you plant the seed, because it's about, you know, Jesus, you know?
So do you think when the world wants to take Christmas out of things, or some department store, they just want to say Happy Holidays, even though 99% of their business is Christmas related, do you see that as the world trying to get away from Jesus?
Yes, because they don't mention Jesus at all. They just care about how much money they can get selling their products. They don't care about you, actually. They just want your money.
Got it.
You know?
And so what? How old are your kids, Debbie?
Oh, all right, 20, 18, and 15.
Okay.
So they're, like, older now. They're older,
right.
But... Yeah.
So what have you done through the years for Christmas?
I didn't come to Christ until it was 1999. So before that, I was one of those dumb people who had the Santa Claus involved.
Oh, really?
But then when I like in 1999, my youngest one was probably only 5 years old. And then that's when I said, no more Santa Claus. And my mother got really mad at me because I didn't put Santa Claus in the mix. And she started really getting upset.
Got it.
Know?
Well, has she gotten over it?
Yeah, they get over it now.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Debbie. God bless you.
All right. Thank you. You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Debbie's mother has gotten over the fact that they don't celebrate with Santa anymore. I am truly glad to hear it. Back with our own family traditions. All right. We're going to get into some nitty-gritty issues now about Christmas, give you some facts maybe you weren't aware of, and maybe take issue with a couple others. And then, yes, I'll tell you my own family practice. But like I said, don't expect some earth-shattering revelation insight when I tell you about it. 866-34-TRUTH if you'd like to weigh in. What about the spelling Xmas? Someone asked me about that the other day. Xmas. I mean, isn't that the world just trying to get rid of Christmas because they don't want to spell Christ? Well, for some, probably is. For some, I don't doubt that. But people would argue that the origins of it are that the X is the Greek chi or chi, which is the first letter of Christos in Greek, and the X was just used to speak of him. So in other words, it was just another way of saying Christ. That's what the X was for. Much like early Christians used the sign of the fish to say something without fully spelling it out. And ichthys, the Greek word for fish, was used to abbreviate Jesus Christos, theos, weos, soter, Jesus Christ, Son, God, Savior. God, Son, Savior, excuse me. So, again, different takes on some of those issues. I did a review a few years ago of an author and teacher named Michael Rood. I'm sure there's some good things he has to say, others I categorically differ with. And he takes real aim on Christmas, Easter, in his book, Pagan Christian Connection Exposed, and my review sought to expose errors in his book. He says of Easter, Easter is the rehearsal of child sacrifice and fertility rites of pagan sun god worshipers. I will not subject myself to their perverted, disgusting forms of satanic worship. I have died to their world. I will not return to the vomit of Tammuz worship. And he speaks of the Christmas tree as an evergreen phallic symbol. That's right. That's not my concern. Okay, I want to be honest with you and tell you that that is not my concern. That if you have a tree in your house, there's something pagan about it, or it's some evergreen phallic symbol. That's not my concern. If you knowingly bring something in an idolatrous way, that would be a concern. All right, let me try to grab another call or two. Mike in Greensboro, what's your take on this, sir?
Yeah, I've been struggling with this issue for the past month. And I once in a while attend a Search Ministries sermon on early on Tuesday mornings, which I attended this morning, which straightened me out on the issue. I'd not attended this Tuesday morning session in months, but I knew it would be a Christmas message is all I knew. And the last thing I had read in the Bible right before I got in the car was Acts. Chapter 18, verse 1, where Paul first went to Corinth.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, the minister started this morning with 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. And it just kind of... I'm still not over it yet. It jolted me out of my chair, and I quit thinking about these petty issues about the pagan roots and rituals and the duplicity of both believers and non-believers celebrating Christmas.
So the reality of what Jesus did overwhelmed you, and in that sense, if you can think about it more during the season, the more the merrier.
Correct. Any day of the year is appropriate to
got it.
Celebrate the coming of Christ.
You know, Mike, someone emailed me a couple days ago, a grad from our ministry school, and just confused about so many issues. I said, you know, major on the majors. Major on abiding in Jesus and fellowshipping with him, and the other things will fall into place. Hey, Mike, thanks for the call. Keep glorifying Jesus. James in Mayport, Florida, we've got about a minute, but you want to weigh in on Santa Claus. Please do.
You know, St. Nicholas was a 4th century a pastor, wasn't he? That helped out of this, you know, amongst other things he's famous for, but helped his friend pay for his daughters to be married off, amongst other things. And he just was known for giving of his wealth and that kind of stuff. And that's pretty much what the Santa Claus is based on, St.
Right.
Nick.
All right, so basically, we don't want to teach our kids that if you do good or bad, Santa's watching, you know, and
right.
that he's coming down through the chimney. But you might want to tell them there's a tradition about a guy that really gave and helped the poor and so on.
I would like to say, if Paul said it's okay to eat meat sacrificed to idols, if you're okay with it, I'm down with putting a Christmas tree in my house.
Got it. I understand the philosophy. Hey, thanks for the call, James. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
God bless. His last point, said with a smile, is actually well taken. Okay, we'll come back. Yeah, I will give my final reflections on this. We'll sort it all out in a few minutes here on the Line of Fire. All right. All right. We're going to sort it all out here. Yeah, just in a few minutes that we have left, we're going to sort out the whole Christmas issue. Well, maybe. Maybe. Michael Brown, thanks for being with us today on the Line of Fire. Okay. Let me say a few general things. First, for my own family, this year, this time of the year, has zero religious significance. Zero religious significance, zero spiritual significance. I'm very happy for those for whom it does have significance. I also want to say that Hanukkah has never become a special season for us either, although I could give great reasons for it in terms of solidarity with the Jewish people and something that Jesus himself would have participated in and something of great historical value and interest, and maybe one day it will have meaning. But I just want to be clear that my wife and I tend to live the same every day. I do have ministry schedules that keep me speaking at certain times. I do try to rest at certain times. But a Sunday is no different than a Wednesday in terms of our spiritual orientation. And Christmas has zero spiritual significance to us whatsoever. It's not a time we especially meditate on the birth of Jesus. However, we have fun family time. It's just like a birthday celebration, except with all the family together. It is fun family time, getting together, having fun, exchanging gifts, and there's nothing spiritual about it, except for the fact that every moment of life is spiritual. That's just how it's worked out. Nancy and I being Jewish and whatever other, I still remember the church we were saved in. We never sang Christmas carols or anything like that or different songs at different times of the year. And then the next church we were in, it comes Christmas and they were singing Christmas-related songs. We're like, what's this? This is odd. I mean, why not sing Joy to the World in January or March or April, or July? Or Come All You Faithful, why not sing that another time of the year? So anyway, that's just our own background, and that's just how it's worked out for us. However, I have no concern about pagan origins of the holiday, whatever, because God's a redeemer. I have no problem with that, and because generations go by and something now just becomes known for being sacred. It just becomes known for being special. You know what I'm saying? When a family gathers together and reads from the Gospels and has special church services celebrating these things, and the kids are talking about the birth of Jesus and the family's talking about the gift that God gave us and so on, that's wonderful. I don't think God is the least bit concerned if December 25th had certain origins were wrong at a certain time. That being said, no one should ever feel under pressure to celebrate the holiday. No one should ever feel pressure that you're supposed to do this because Christians do this. No, you work that out between you and God, whether it's following the biblical calendar, especially if you're from Jewish background, and it would be more natural and appropriate in that sense, whether it's just out of conviction, whether it's the renouncing of the materialism of the day and the worldliness of the day. This is the perfect example, and here I'll give you my bottom line. This is the perfect example of where there must be unity in diversity. This is the perfect example of where people from different backgrounds, cultures, customs are going to work things out between them and God. People in India are so ignorant about some of these things that you'll have church services where they've got people dressed up as Santa Claus. I've seen it with my own eyes. You think, well, and they just don't catch the fact that, no, you don't want to bring Santa into this and all the stuff associated with it. But there's just so much innocence about it and ignorance. But this is one of those things where we each have to walk this out between us and God, where we each have to walk this out, that however we feel between us and God, however we feel in terms of our own life conviction, without any pressure from anyone else, without any pressure from the community, without any pressure from the church family or from the Messianic congregation, don't let anyone lay a guilt trip on you either way. If your conscience is compromised, if there is sin, if there is worldliness, deal with that. But then recognize that if out of a pure heart you celebrate this time honoring Jesus, wonderful. And if out of a pure heart you can't, wonderful. But do not judge each other. Bless each other and determine whether you eat or drink or celebrate Christmas or don't. Do it all for the glory of God. Back with you tomorrow.